I have spent my entire adult life, including some of my teen years, as a voluntary missionary. It's only been in the last year that I've been a pastor. And so this, I'm used to being the recipient of generosity, in having to live by faith and not receive a salary and no guarantee of any income whatsoever. It's just whenever the Lord would lead someone to give, that's how everything was. So if it was a tube of toothpaste or an article of clothing or money, it was others being generous to me. So I've lived my life. Here I'm 64 years old, and I started out in doing this as a teenager. And so I've learned by other people's generosity to me and also learning to be generous. So I was the kind of person that I couldn't afford to just go shopping. And so very often, if I had a need, I would pray for the thing, not for money. And I can remember a time when John and I were leading YWAM Los Angeles over in Lakeview Terrace. He was the base director. And I owned two dresses. And I wore them so often that there was a lady there who got so sick of seeing them. It was just so monotonous that she came to me one day and she says, "I've got to buy you another dress. I'm so sick of seeing those two dresses." Well, whatever motivates someone to be generous works for me, right? And I had received those two dresses when we were directing the ministry in Long Beach, California, among the Cambodian refugees that had come there from when they were after the Vietnam War, a long time ago. Some of you weren't even born yet. So I had received those two dresses in a donation box, as it was, and they happened to be maternity dresses, and I wasn't pregnant anymore. I'd already had my two kids, so I'd had those two dresses a really long time. So that's just a little bit of context. I had one pair of nice shoes for church, and I had probably a pair of flip-flops and some tennis shoes. That were my three shoes. Okay, so I didn't have a lot. But a year or two later, I remember being given the privilege of being able to buy something. And I was at Ross. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. And there was this gray leather jacket that was so amazing. It fit me perfectly, and it was very reasonably priced. And God had provided the money, and I had it. And it was probably my favorite possession. And I probably worn it maybe 6 months, really loving that thing. And I was having lunch with a lady, and the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Give her the jacket." And it was with great pleasure that I gave her my most favorite jacket. And so this is what it is. You receive, you give. You receive, you give. This is generosity. This is the way we live. We live generously. And I didn't know if she needed the jacket. It wasn't like she was sitting, homeless person sitting there shivering. No, no, no. This was my friend. You actually know this friend. So this is what it's all about, right? It's just having a heart. You can receive. Some people are too proud to receive. That's a problem. You need to be able to receive generosity as well as be generous to others. So, next slide. There, Jesus championed enthusiasm. He was so enthusiastic about giving. He championed it through telling us the story of this little widow who gave two little mites, two little coins. And we'll look at that in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put all she had to live on in." And again, this story is in Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, in another descriptive way, tells the same story again. But Jesus isn't saying here it's about how much you give. It's about how, why. So to be truly generous isn't about the gift. It's about why. So in all of Jesus' teachings, why would he pick this story? He's trying to show us, be givers. Be givers. Don't just be like people paying their taxes. Have any of you ever in your life paid your taxes with a joyful, exuberant, "Woohoo! I get to pay my taxes! Yahoo!" Now, for me, it probably feels a little more painful than those of you who have it withdrawn out of your paycheck automatically. The feeling isn't quite so excruciating. But for someone like myself who's considered self-employed, we have to make quarterly payments and figure it out and pay an X amount out of, it's not withdrawn automatically. So for me, paying taxes is quite excruciating. It's like going to the dentist. It's not fun. So maybe for you, paying tithes is like that. Oh, and this is just what I owe. This is what I owe. If I don't do this, I'll get struck by lightning. I don't know what you think. But God isn't saying that in this story. He's saying it's not about just doing the deed. It's about your heart. And it isn't about the amount. It's about your heart. He wants you to have a generous spirit. He wants you to have the motivation of generosity. That's what it's about. So paying your tithes or paying your taxes shouldn't come into the, even the word paying your tithes. We even say tithes and offerings. Tithes, obligation. Offerings, from your heart. Oh. So I'm not giving a message on tithing. I'm giving a message on generosity. So let's go to the next slide. And this is in the Old Testament, when it's referred to generosity, it's giving to those in need who are among you. So let's read this, Leviticus 25, 35 through 37. If your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God, that your brother may live beside you, and you shall not lend him your money at interest, nor give him your food for profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. So here we have this Old Testament challenge to take care of each other, to look and see who's got a need. Let's help them. This isn't a command to say, give your money to the temple. This is to say, watch and see who's in need, and let's take care of each other. Let's help each other out. Lend without interest. Give. I like it. So I was 16 when I first started attending Osborne Neighborhood Church. And there was a short-term outreach that was going over to the Munich Olympic Games in 1972. And we were, I don't know if anybody is even here that would know these people, but Carla Cooper and, yes, and Karen Forsyth and myself and a handful of others, we all went to England for the first part of the outreach, and then we and 1,000 other people from all over the world came and did this outreach to the Olympic Games, where every nationality under the sun was gathered. And so we were evangelizing all the, not the athletes so much, but the people that came to the city to witness it. And it happened to be at the time where the Israelis were shot and killed. It was quite a dramatic time. But I was there as a 16-year-old, and I can remember saving my salary where I was working was only $20 a week, or maybe a month, I don't know. But I saved it up to get my airfare, and my airfare was like $200. Yeah, way back when. That's when McDonald's hamburgers were 25 cents. Right. So, yeah, I'm that old. Anyway, at this event, there were 1,000 of us staying in and around this little town of Herlach near Munich. We used to catch the train in. And they were taking up an offering to actually purchase a castle that we were staying in. Sounds cool, huh? A Bavarian castle with sort of the onion-shaped domes on the top and whatnot. And I was staying in a room that was actually a foyer that had bunk beds 3 high and 3 deep. So you had to crawl over each other to get to your spot where you had your sleeping bag. There were no showers. We would have to go to the local gym and use the showers there. And so it was a very interesting experience. Yes. So anyway, I was there on every last little penny I'd saved. I'd also spent several weeks in England, and now I was in Germany. And we were taking up an offering amongst ourselves, the 1,000 ragtag young people, to buy this castle, which is hilarious to think about in the first place. And I had no money whatsoever to my name. And people were coming up the front, and they were giving, and it was dancing and singing, and it was fun, and I was miserable. I was so sad. I had no money to give. And I remember everyone was getting up from their seats and coming to the front to give, and they had buckets or something. And I got up from where I was sitting, I went to the very back, and I hung my head, and I started crying. Oh, Jesus, I want to give. I want to give so bad, but I don't have anything. Oh, God, could you please give me something to give? I want to give. And before long, this is not out loud, I was praying. This is in my head. I'm saying out loud my thoughts. Before long, someone walked over to me and they said, you know, this is the weirdest thing, but God told me not to go up and put the money up there that I had to give, but I was to give it to you. So I was like, yes! And I ran up to the front and I put the money in. I was so excited. And then I went back to the back and sat down, and I was good. That was it. That was enough. But that happened 2 more times. So 3 times altogether, God had spoken to people to come to me. Out of 1,000 people, I'm a little 16-year-old. Who knew me? I'm just a nobody. God had pointed me out to go to me and give me the money for me to give. So I was just, easy in, easy out. I never kept any of that money. It was just a tube. Went right through. But I got the joy of it. I got to experience the blessing of being generous, because my heart wanted to be generous and I didn't have the means. So God gave me the means to be generous. So I'm trying to provoke you with this story from ancient days that this kind of ruined me for the ordinary. This kind of gave me this, like, yeah, being generous is awesome. I got to do more of that. Woo! That was like thrills. Okay? So let's go to the next slide. Again, I want to emphasize that it's all about your motives and intentions. That's what matters. I don't know if you hate it when you have the annual, you didn't have one last year, but sometimes it's an annual in church kind of stir up the people to give. That's not what this message is. We might need another one of those. But it's about your motives. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that a fabulous portion of Scripture? So we decide. Now, I was raised with so much emphasis on obedience. Obey God, obey God, obey God. And I believe in that in all my heart. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you obey it. Absolutely. But above and beyond that, I think God is thrilled by us taking initiative and being generous from our own free will. John and I we've been married 43 years, or is it 44? I can't remember. 44. And we've had this rule, covenant between each other, that when we pray and ask God, when there's a need, how much are we to give? We sometimes ask God. And we've decided if one of us gets a higher number than the other, we're always going to go for the higher one. Okay? All right. We have this agreement together that whatever we do in unity. But that was one of the ones that we decided if we're going to disagree, we're going to disagree for the better. So we were married maybe 4 or 5 years, and we had just led an outreach down in Manhattan Beach, and we were in a church, a big Assemblies of God church there one Sunday morning, and they were taking up an offering. I'm telling the wrong story. I'm going to wait and tell that story later. Okay. I just looked at my notes, and I'm telling the wrong story. Or maybe I was supposed to tell that story somewhere else. No, yeah, it's coming. Where is it? Maybe I'll tell it now anyway. Okay, I'll tell it anyway. All right, so we're at this church, and Manhattan Beach, wealthy, hello. And they're taking up an offering for a couple that are missionaries going to India. And we're like, that's awesome, we love them, but these are rich people sitting in this building and not necessary for the doesn't have a cent people to give, right? But we still ask the Lord. So I'm telling you, there's a logical thing here, and then there's the just crazy in love of Jesus, do whatever he says. So what had happened prior to this event, we had finally gotten to the place in our marriage where the clothing that I received at my bridal shower, all my lingerie, not that I had much, but my underwear was now, hold on to your seatbelts, people, was holy underwear. We've been on so many outreaches in foreign countries to have to hand wash my underwear that it wasn't a priority because nobody could see it. But it gotten to the point where it was shreds. And we had been able to pay our rent and pay our bills, and we had $50 check. A check had just arrived unexpectedly to where John had said to me, "Honey, we can buy you some underwear." So we're sitting in the church, and we both asked the Lord, "What are we to give?" And we turned to each other, and we both said, "That check for $50. Let's sign it over." You know, back in the day, you could do that. You'd sign your name, and then you could just stick it in the offering. I don't know if that's still you can do that, but anyway, we did. And so they had a piano bench like that one over there at the front of the church open, and people were coming up and putting money in the offering. Well, we were sitting kind of near the back, and by the time we got to the front, the two of us were giggling and laughing and having so much fun just putting the money in the offering. Because it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous, but it was so much fun. And for both of us to get the same idea at the same time, it was so fun. When we got home, back here, we were living like in Lakeview Terrace or Sunland, it might have been at the time, there was a check for $300 for us. So I got my underwear. And more so. We didn't spend that money except for the underwear, but it was for our other needs. But you see, I've been ruined for the ordinary here. This is the way to go. You can't outgive God. Now I know you've heard televangelists say that because they're trying to get money for their ministry. And even though I'm quoting that catchphrase, it's still truth. It's still truth. You can't outgive God. He's just. That means he weighs it. He knows. So there was a time where I had experienced enough of this in my life where I was thinking, yeah, that's what happens when you give. It's no big deal. So we were leading this ministry in Long Beach, California, amongst the Cambodian refugees. After we'd spent many years living in Thailand amongst the refugees, then we were living in Long Beach, California, amongst the Cambodians. And our ministry had to trust the Lord every month to pay the rent for the houses we were living in and our food. And we really felt like before we could ask God to put it on the hearts of other people to give to support our ministry, that we within our own selves, our own staff, our own volunteers should give what we had first. And so in this offering, we wrote out a check for the balance of what was in our checking account, everything we had. And then John and I were reminiscing on this story the other day, and he reminded me, he heard the Lord say, that's not enough. You remember that penny jar? Then we went through the couch cushions, the little change thing in your car. We took every cent we had and we gave it in that offering. And it was fun. But I can remember in my heart, I had kind of a flippant attitude. This isn't any big deal. Tomorrow, God will give more money. And there's no hardship here, actually. Because God always gives back. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. We ran out of milk for the kids. We didn't have enough. there was this time where my attitude of giving doesn't cost anything actually because God always takes care of me got dealt with. It actually was sacrificial giving. It actually hurt. It cost something. Whereas before, even though I had nothing, giving was easy because, I mean, my checking account probably only had $47 in it anyway. You know. So God tested me on my own attitude towards Him. Would I give even if I couldn't count on it at all, just magically appearing moments later? So we went through some hardship until I saw my attitude was casual towards God, and it really wasn't a generous spirit. It was a more of a, ooh, I just gave everything. So I'm glad I can tell you my faults here, not just my pat myself on the back, aren't I wonderful? No, this was hard. And I learned the hard way not to have a wrong attitude. That's the thing about this whole message is about motive. The motive of generosity. So let's go to the next slide. Sorry. Yes, we got it. All right. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given unto you. See, I knew that. A great measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And I think that measure isn't a quantity of money. That measure is a quantity of heartfelt generosity. The measure of heartfelt generosity is the measure it's going to be measured back to you, not dollar for dollar. Do you hear me? Yeah, I think that's what God is really trying to emphasize here. So, where are the Hunts? Are they here today? There they are. Okay, Cheryl's not. But this is a story about Cheryl. So, I was holding a lady's tea in my home, and we were praying for each other, and Cheryl Hunt had mentioned that their car had, it was done for. It was it. They'd done every possible thing. I don't know if their transmission was out or how bad it was, but something, it was like dead. No resurrection going to happen here. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, to say to her, and I said it to her privately, not in front of the group. I said, I really think the Lord is going to do something if you are generous. And I knew for a fact they had no money. I think it might have even been in the time, Dave, where you had fallen and you weren't working. It was bad on every side. And I went to her, I said, I know you don't have any money, but maybe you have something of value at home that's sentimental, that doesn't even have a value to someone else other than your own sentiment. You ask the Lord to show you what it is that you're to give, and I believe that generosity is gonna release abundance into your life. You know her. She is so humble and sweet and obedient to the Lord. Immediately she went home and she prayed and asked, and she knew exactly what it was. It was a necklace that was very, very precious to her. And I don't even know who she gave it to, but she gave it away. And within days, the Lord provided a vehicle for them. A vehicle was loaned to them for an indefinite period of time until they were able to get another vehicle. And God provided that. And so it's so long ago, they barely remember the story. I tried to get all the details from them, but they're like, I don't even remember it all. So this is you guys. This is everyday stuff. So I'm not talking about money. I told you the story about the jacket. I told you the story about this necklace. It's generosity. That's the point of it. So the next slide. Giving your time generously. That is something you can give. Not just your resources, your time. That's probably the thing that costs you more than anything, is to give your time. Look, we've got the drive-through prayer ministry starting up. That's giving your time. We've got the food pantry ministry. We've got the children's ministry. There's so many places your generosity can be expressed through giving your time. Giving your time to sit with someone and listen to their story. And then the next slide, Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. God is so faithful to give back to us. It says in another translation, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's what's so fabulous about this. The joy is in the giving already. It's better to give than receive. We know that, right? But you get such euphoric joy when you give with a grateful heart. You don't get euphoric joy paying what you owe. So you get the rewards if your heart is in it in a way that's large and giving, miserly, holding on. What are you going to have? Sorrow and leanness of soul, where you're going to have lack. So that was Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than receive. The next slide, Galatians 6:2. It's fulfilling the law of Christ is to bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so that goes back to that Old Testament verse where it is take care of each other, bear one another's burdens. So if you know somebody else needs something, don't take them down to the welfare office. Maybe you should, but it's like, come on. That whole welfare system came from God's word. That we're supposed to take care of each other. That's where that whole idea, the church invented that one. That wasn't God, not the government. This is our responsibility to take care of each other. So what is the law of Christ? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the next slide is our application time.